The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Back again. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Today in Sports Betting. It's Friday, February 7th. Hope everyone's had a good week. We wrap up another week of Today in Sports Betting. Nice NBA slate for you all. Hope you've made a bunch of money. We have. That means you got to follow along with us. With me today, as always, my Friday co-pilot, the one and only Devin Ellington. Devin, what's up, man?
Howdy. Howdy, Hoop Ballers. How's it going?
It's going, man. It's going. As we all know, Devin is a Kansas City resident, and I know that it's been a long week for him. Devin, I don't know if you're hungover or not still from the parade, but I need to know, and I feel like the Hoop Ballers need to know as well. Were you the guy that ran into the parking meter trying to catch a pass from Patrick Mahomes?
No, you know, I stayed far and away from the craziness. I watched it from afar on the local news. I was also not the guy who fell out with his rear end hanging out of his pants.
Come on. I thought you had a good story for us, man.
I should have went with it. I'm sorry.
Dude, that was going to be my follow-up question.
Oh, man.
I'm
good at ruining things.
That's all right. Devin did not fall bare ass out of a tree, so I'm sorry to break it to you, all you Hoop Ballers. But it's all good. Congratulations again to the Chiefs and every other Kansas City resident not named Devin Ellington, who was completely hungover for this entire week. But we shall move on because we've got an 8-game NBA slate for you all today. A lot of lunatic action going on, and this is one of those typical post trade deadline days where teams are going to be depleted of typical roster players, just with all the player movement. We thought we were going to have a quiet deadline, and then sure enough, no, the world exploded as usual with names like Andre Drummond switching teams, the whole Iguodala situation shaking out, Andrew Wiggins and D'Angelo Russell switching teams. It was quite the trade deadline. It was a fun one. So we'll talk about some of the ramifications for that and how that plays out with some of these games. And, of course, I'm sure Devin is going to have some college basketball bets that he'll want to share for the weekend. And so we've got a lot to share with you all. But as always, before we do that, we got to give a shout-out to our friends at mybookie.ag. Head on over to MyBookie. Make sure you sign up and use the promo code TODAY. That is the word TODAY, T-O-D-A-Y. Y'all have been listening for a while, so you know that promo code TODAY. But if you haven't gone there already, please do so, because if when you do and use that promo code TODAY, get 50% in free money from mybookie.ag up to $1,000. So if you put $2,000 on your initial deposit, mybookie.ag will give you $1,000 just for using that promo code. So make sure that you head on over there. They're fantastic. Don't worry that football's over. They got plenty NBA. They got plenty of NHL. They're going to have lots of college hoops headed into the tournament. They've got some goofy things. And I guarantee you, if you're excited about the XFL season, they probably got that too. So head on over to mybookie.ag. Get 50% back from your initial deposit and bonus money from mybookie.ag when you use the promo code today, TODAY. From all of us hoopballers, head on over. Thanks again to the folks at mybookie.ag. Devin, 8 games to cover. Are you ready, buddy?
I'm ready. We got some lines to navigate through. You know, some of these are going to be a little more fishy just with all the rotational pieces and people being in or out in the trades. So it's time to break these down for the hootballers.
Yeah, it was a bananas day yesterday.
You know, and I was at the bar all day working, which kind of sucks. So I was, you know, I was on Twitter as much as I could be. You know, I was doing some prep work, batching cocktails, making drinks. And I had my phone in front of me pretty much all day with Twitter just open. And thank goodness for Dan and the rest of the HootBall team that was doing the live stream because they were live tweeting. They were live streaming their YouTube link. And, you know, there's a bunch of news that was being delivered. And I had 4 TVs to glance up at. So that was nice also.
Yeah, our HootBall crew is great at that. Every year, that's just a phenomenal show every year with Dan and Brew and the team. Just they do such a great job. So if you missed that, I'm sorry, but I'm pretty sure you'll be able to see the show at hoop-ball.com, our parent website. And yeah, so make sure you check it out if you missed it. It was that show is always fun. They're just such a wealth of knowledge, and they have a lot of fun with it. It's great, and it's just, you know, the more chaos, the better, as we say. So that was pretty nice. So, yes, there are a whole bunch of ramifications for the games coming up. So we will get right into them. We will start with the Dallas Mavericks traveling to Washington to take on the Wizards. Game right now is 3.5 in favor of the Mavericks, the very depleted Mavericks. The Mavericks right now, they're still down Luka Doncic. Seth Curry's questionable. J.J. Barea is questionable. Kristaps Porzingis broke his nose and is questionable for this one as well. I'm sure if he does play, the mask will come out. If he doesn't, then I don't know who's playing offense for that team in that case. In the meantime, the Wizards were in the middle of trade deals. Shabazz Napier is coming in, but he's until that trade is through, it seems like Ish Smith is the only eligible point guard on that team. And Thomas Bryant is going to be out of this one. The Mavericks are kind of hanging around, you know, despite the injuries. They've won some games. They're playing like 500 ball as they navigate without Luka and some of his other cohorts in the Dallas backcourt. So they've been, you know, they're hanging in there. Some quality wins against the Pacers, but just took one on the chin against the Grizzlies the other night. Where in the meantime, the Washington Wizards, well, they're kind of Wizards-ish, you know, no defense as usual. Did beat the Nets recently, but got stung by the Warriors on their home court, which that's not a loss that they should be taking. So, I don't know. It's two teams that are, I don't know, lost a bunch of pieces. And Dallas is fighting for playoff positioning, obviously. Washington really doesn't have much to play for. I don't know, Devin. It's kind of an oddball game, if you will. So how do we make it? This is there a way to take advantage on either side?
You know, as of right now, I don't see a ton of value in either side. 3 is just a weird number. If Porzingis does not play, then I believe that number is probably going to shrink by a half point in my opinion. Like you mentioned, J.J. Barea and Seth Curry are also, you know, questionable. They do have Courtney Lee that hasn't really played a lot this year. So if he steps in, you know.
That might shift the line. Courtney Lee.
Right, yeah, 10 points right off the bat. Yeah. It's a pretty messy situation for Dallas right now with all the guys they have out. You know, Washington is going to be without Thomas Bryant. I'm probably going to have to just stay away from this game. Dallas had some recent success on the road against the spread. 4-0-1 in their last five, 11-3 in their last 14 against the spread versus Washington, and just straight up 4-2 in the last six games against the spread. But with a lot of guys out and with the rotations of the Wizards getting shaken up within the last, 48 hours with the trade deadline, if I was going to fade a team, it would be the one that was active in the trade deadline. But I can't really say that in full confidence because there's some games later on in this card where, we'll get to them. But, like Houston, they're only 2.5-point favorites tonight against Phoenix, and I really like that game. So this game right now, I don't see any true value in it, and I'm probably going to go ahead and stay away from this. And I would advise others to do so just because it's so weird.
I think, you're right. It's like every time we do this, we talk through it, and when we do, it's like, you either know it where there's opportunity or you feel like it's a very much what the hell is going on here situation. And this feels like the latter. I think, we can wait for news to come out a little bit depending on the Mavericks injury situation because, Kristaps Porzingis playing or not playing is kind of big. As well as some of the other backcourt guys, Seth Curry and J.J. Barea, too. They could be down to Jalen Brunson and DeLon Wright for that entire game. At the same time, I have no faith in the Wizards to, they can come in and shoot, and score 150 or come in and just allow the Mavericks to run roughshod. The one thing that I'm seeing is again, Dallas is outstanding on the road against the spread.
Yeah.
So if Porzingis plays, I'm with you as of right now, as of us recording this podcast, I don't want to touch this game. But if we see later on that Porzingis is in and it doesn't move the line all that much, then I'd probably lean Dallas in this one just because of their outstanding track record on the road.
Yeah, I like that. I like that vantage point right there for sure.
Yeah. So just keep your eye on news in this one. Sorry to start out with such a weird game, but hey, again, we go by just according to the schedule and the timing of everything. So with all that said, we will move on to the Memphis Grizzlies headed to Philadelphia as they take on the Sixers. Our hatred for the Sixers. They are 6.5-point favorites in this one. And it's... Oh my God. But at least they're at home. Let's just put it that way. They're at home. And that's really the gist of it. Over under in this one, sorry, is 222. They're at home. So it's a completely different animal for the Sixers because on the road, they are atrocious. They're terrible. And a lot's being made of the Sixers and their struggles and the composition of that team. And it really has been throughout the season. But one thing that really stands out is that they are straight up 22-2 at home, and they are 9-19 straight up on the road. And the spread, it pretty much holds consistent. They're 13-10 on the season against the spread at home, whereas they're that same 9-19 against the spread on the road. So it's, that would dictate that, Philadelphia's, they'd be all right. They're back at home. It's a different story. But then again, the Grizzlies are one of the better teams in the league right now. So we don't really know we're not going to really figure out how that's going to go because the Grizzlies are really good against the spread on the road as well. They're 12-10 on the season. And they were in the news. I'm sure they're going to be energized, but also a little bit shorthanded after the trade deadline because they're a team that, again, everyone thought were going to, this was a complete rebuild and this and that. And then all of a sudden, they get rid of Andre Iguodala, who had been causing a little bit of friction within the team. And they get back some other supporting cast guys, some decent, you know, veteran players, guys like Gorgui Dieng, who will help solidify the front court. Jonas Valanciunas, I should say, is questionable in this one. That kind of makes a bit of difference. And Jordan Bell, who's still a bit of a project, but he's headed over to Memphis in some of the madness as well. Josh Richardson remains out for the Sixers. And at the same time, their acquisitions, Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson, who they got from the Golden State Warriors, they will also be questionable. Again, these are all, you know, part of the deal with pending trades. So it seems like business as usual for the Sixers until they get those guys together. Devin, six and a half, just given how Philly's been playing recently, feels like a lot against a very good and very hungry Memphis team. But then again, this is the Sixers at home, not the Sixers on the road. So tell me what you make of that one.
So what I make of it is, you know, I saw this number initially, and then I was like, oh, yes, I like this. And then I looked and saw Philly's home record and their home spread in splits, and then I got a little less excited. Mm-hmm. So this is a tough one because you got two teams that were heavily involved in the trade deadline. Lots of moving pieces, lots of the pot stirring here. And it doesn't help that Valanciunas is possibly out as well, because he would be like my one beacon of hope on why I should take this spread here. Now, with that being said, I'm still leaning Memphis plus 5.5. And, you know, if Valanciunas is ruled out, that's probably going to spike anywhere to 7 to 7.5, depending on what book. But they still got some really good pieces. You know, their core is still going to be in, you know, those three guards and Dylan Brooks, De'Anthony Melton, and Ja Morant. You know, those kids can put the ball in the hoop and very quickly too. Jaren Jackson Jr., you know, he's going to be battling with Joel Embiid probably. And, yeah, so, I mean, this is another weird game. You know, I just don't know either way. But like I said, if I'm going to lean, and I am leaning a little bit more horizontally than vertically, it's going to definitely be the Memphis plus the points in this game, just because of my lack of faith in Philadelphia. You know, yeah. They may have a really good home record, you know, 22-2, but there's still only two games above 500 against the spread at home. And, you know, they're 21-30-1 in total against the spread. I don't see their locker room frustrations simmering down at all anytime soon. They're just adding more new pieces. I think Brent Brown there is still just trying to get his team back on track. You know, these guys are reeling. They're not and just another thing to throw out there, they're 0-5 against the spread in their last five in total. Now, someone might look at that and say, well, that'll round out, so it could move to 1-5 after tonight. But they're riding an 8-game home streak, home winning streak. So it's just it's a little weird right now.
I wish this line was a little lower.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I might go contrarian.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, 6 right now is just – that's enough for me to, like, exercise caution, like you said, because this – it could be a very close game for sure, because the Grizzlies are, again, playing well. They're hungry. They've been in games. I totally get it. But the Sixers are still a very talented team, and we've noted how – good they are at home. Now, mind you, they've been bad, and that's really come on the road. But now they've lost 4 in a row, but their last 4 losses, one was against the Hawks, which is an inexplicable loss. That shouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But their next 3 losses are against the Celtics in Boston, the Heat in Miami, and then the Bucks in Milwaukee. the Celtics are one of the hottest teams in the league right now. Miami is like the Sixers. They're practically unbeatable on their home court. And the Bucks are just unbeatable, period. They're the best team in the league. So how much are we really going to ding the Sixers for losing games on the road against home teams that are really just better than the Sixers right now? So I wish this line were just maybe like 3 or 4, because then I could say, like, all right, I could, with a little bit more confidence, I would say, you know what, Philly's due. They're due for a good game. But I don't feel that confident enough to be contrarian, even though I kind of want to be contrarian in this scenario.
Yeah. You know, and I'm in the same canoe with you. If it was like, you know, 2.5, 3, just a single possession game, I would definitely roll with this just because that home record is so staggering.
Yeah.
You know, and let's not forget that this team, you know, their last 10 games, they've played some very, very tough competition, Philadelphia, that is. And even the lower end teams, you know, they've played teams, you know, like, you know, Chicago, New York, and Brooklyn. You know, those are all, you know, teams that they should have beat, and they did. Tough teams at times. Chicago is actually one of the better defensively rated teams in the league right now. Then they went, you know, and lost to Toronto, which everyone has in the last 10 or 11 games. They beat the Lakers. They handled business against the Warriors. They slipped up against the Hawks. And then, like you mentioned, that run of Boston, Miami, Milwaukee. That's a bit of a buzzsaw. So yeah. I like the viewpoint of in the narrative of them being due for one, because honestly, they are. It's just how much of their destiny are they going to control tonight and handle business?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one. It's the number that's really throwing me off is the problem.
Yeah.
Is I can't lay 6 points given their track record. But that's really what it comes down to. So again, I'll stay away from this one as well. I'm sure that feels the same for you.
It should be a good game, so I want to watch it just for that sake. But yeah, as far as betting it's going to be tough. You know, I might just lose a couple marbles, and if Valanciunas is ruled out and it gets bet up even more, like if it hits 8, I'm definitely taking that, even though
right. No, that I understand. Yeah, that I understand. Yeah.
So,
and that makes complete sense. All right, we will move on. The Atlanta Hawks are in Boston taking on the Celtics. The Hawks, who made a monster deal getting Clint Capella, even though he is out for this one. So, and the Hawks have been largely banged up as well. But the Hawks all of a sudden are saying, hey, don't forget us. Boston's favored by 9 in this one. Over-under is a robust 234. Cam Reddish is doubtful. Bruno Fernando's doubtful. DeAndre Bembry is out. DeAndre Hunter is questionable. Jeff Teague is probable. And Capella is out. So, it's going to be the Trae Young show, and Trae Young, Kevin Huerter, and John Collins show as usual for the Hawks. And they got Dwayne Dedmon back from the Kings because, sure, why not? In the meantime, Kemba Walker is close to a return, but not really. He's questionable with his knee injury. Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward are also questionable for the Celtics. Daniel Tice is out of this one. Both teams super shorthanded. Marcus Smart is probable, though, with he had a thigh contusion. He should be back. Boston, though, red hot, winners of their last 5, and have, you know, done it at home. They've done it on the road. Really, the biggest win was, like we had previously spoken about, the Heat were unbeatable at home until the Celtics came in and beat them. And then they have wins against the Warriors, Sixers, Hawks, and Magic, just really taking care of business. So there is some recency with the Celtics and Hawks. Celtics were winners by 8 in Atlanta, and now Atlanta comes and travels to Boston. While the spread is fairly big, we kind of need to see what is happening on the injury front. But I don't know. It feels like as long as some of Boston's starters play, it feels like, you know, I personally wouldn't be afraid of laying the nine, but let me know how you feel in this one, Dev.
Yeah, so there's a few, you know, I think there's three major points in this. You have Atlanta, who is terrible against the spread on the road, 9-18. You have Boston, who's one of the best home teams, and then they're a great team against the spread at home and at 16-9-1. Mm-hmm. As we've covered, you've got all these injuries, and if Marcus Smart makes his return, you know, not anything on him as a person, but we've seen him be a little bit of a selfish player, especially if some other guys are out, and he could maybe screw up the chemistry and the flow of the game for Boston. And we've talked about, you know, fading a team that gets, you know, a star back. Marcus Smart's not a star, but, you know, an important cog, definitely, in their rotation. Then you have these staggering Boston numbers as of late. You know, they're 8-2 in their last 10 straight up. They're 8-1 against the spread in their last 9 games this season. They're 5-0 against the spread in their last 5 at home. They're 5-0 straight up in their last 5 games. They're 5-0 against the spread in their last 5 games. But there's this Atlanta team that has Trae Young, who just can go off for 40 points at any moment. You got Kevin Huerter, who can give you, you know, 15 and then some long bombs. And then John Collins. You know, if Daniel Tice is out, John Collins, you know, I'm sorry, but Enes Kanter is not going to stop him. They'll probably have to throw Robert Williams in there. You know, he's a pretty good young defensive talent. And I think you see this line being so big because of these injuries. And I would probably be a little bit more keen on waiting on the injuries, you know, especially if Gordon Hayward's ruled in, if Marcus Smart's actually going to be ruled in, Jaylen Brown. I think that this line drops all the way from 9 to, I'd say, 5 or 4. And then I'd probably jump all over the Boston side on that. Mm-hmm. This 9 right now, I'm not too, you know, I'm not too savvy on it. I don't think Boston covered the last time they played. It was 6.5. No, they did. All right, so they won by 8. But, again, that was in Atlanta. Atlanta's terrible against the spread at home. As of right now with the 9, I don't know if I want to lay that many points just because that Marcus Smart piece, you know, it's just kind of – that's making me feel a little ick about it. You know, if it was a guy like Gordon Hayward or Kemba Walker who actually still facilitates and orchestrates the offense, Marcus Smart, you can just – I see him making so many boneheaded mistakes on his first game back, you know. Late fouls, arguing with the ref, you know, just putting his team in a worse position.
Yeah, conversely, you know, he could play defense against Trae Young. So
yeah.
I hear what you're saying. I guess I'm just a little bit – I just see Boston as, like, they're you know, they've been banged up this last stretch, and they're playing their best ball of the year. So I don't necessarily think that, yeah, I hear you, that Marcus Smart can be a bit of a bonehead when he's out there, but he's also one of the best defenders in the league. Yeah. So I'm not as, I don't know, worried, I guess, about the 9, because Boston in their last 5 games has a positive net rating of 13.7. over their last 5.
Oh, wow.
So
yeah, that's staggering.
Yeah, it's pretty staggering. They're beating teams, and they're beating them convincingly. So as much as, yeah, like, look, I love Trae Young. Kevin Huerter, I think, is a really good player. I think John Collins is a great player. But I just don't think that they have the horses because they're just as banged up, whereas I think that Boston is going to be, even if it's just Smart and Tatum, and maybe it's one of Gordon Hayward or Jaylen Brown. I just think that they're just a better overall team. So I think I'm a little more confident, but I do like your advice that, you know, if those guys get ruled out and the line shifts down to 8-7, however far, that we can, you know, that we can safely then, like, if that line gets lower, that you feel a little bit more confident in it.
Yeah, you know, and after hearing you talk a little more on the Boston side, you know, they are one of the better teams. And as far as talent and coaching goes, you know, they have the upper leg. And not to mention, you know, I was just looking at some last five game metrics as well. You know, you got me kind of inspired. Boston's the number one defensive rated team in the last five games. Atlanta, offensively, you know, we talk about them scoring all these points, but in their last five games, they're the number 21 team as far as offensive rating. So, yeah, you talked me into it. I'm going to go ahead and lay these points with Boston. So, they're a good team. They're great at home. They're great against the spread. So.
Yeah. The numbers just dictated at this point. So let's not, you know, let's not be shy about the data, because that's how we do, you know. We will jump ahead. The Detroit Pistons, shaking your head at the Detroit Pistons, are in their first game post Andre Drummond era, will head to Oklahoma City to take on the Thunder. They are 13-point dogs. And I mean dogs. God almighty. Over-under in this one is 217. That whole situation, I am just flabbergasted by. Drummond's been in the trade, you know, rumors for pretty much the entire season. And they got a whole bunch of nothing for him.
They didn't even get a bag of peanuts. They got a bag of stale peanuts.
The whole situation just perplexes me. And it was and Detroit's front office just completely mangled their hand with him. Absolutely mangled it. I'm kind of stunned. So I'm not really surprised by this line right now, because the Pistons have to be just somewhat defeated. I can't really speak to, you know, the chemistry of the issue. They did win on their home court against the Suns, so I got to give them that much. But prior to that, they were, you know, they're 3-7 in their last 10. They've been pretty lousy against the spread at home, 11-17 on the season. They've been lousy in general against the spread, home or road, doesn't matter. They've been one of like the most horrible teams, you know, and it's boom or bust with them, and this seems like a bust situation, whereas OKC have been great. They're not as good against the spread at home as they are on the road, but they're still 14-12 on the season. They're still solid. They're still playing good ball. They've crept up to the sixth seed in the West. Who would have thought that? Winners of their last
three.
Yeah. Winners of their last three. Taking care of who they need to take care of. I mean, this is another situation where, like, look, they've beaten the Kings. They beat the Suns. They handled the Cavs. Now it's, you know, like, okay, this is a team that also got out of the trade deadline unscathed. Danilo Gallinari stuck around. So they're basically at full strength here. But then again, that's a pretty massive line. And we would hate to be in a backdoor situation, even though I don't know if Detroit has the horses for a backdoor. Devin, help me out here. Are you afraid to lay 13 points?
You know, I think I am, because the other night, on the February 5th, so that was that would have been Wednesday night, it was, they played Cleveland at home, and that line was 13.5. And I was not really enjoying that big number. And I stayed away from it because it was a big number and they ended up not covering.
Right.
Only won by 6. This Detroit team, however, I mean, we talked about all the debacle and just terrible, terrible front office work they did, but we didn't even really cover, like, you know, their injuries currently.
Oh yeah.
Derrick Rose is out. Markieff Morris is out. Zvi Mihailuk, which is one of their better three-point shooters, is out.
Kennard's still out also.
Kennard is still out.
And now there's no Andre Drummond.
No Drummond.
No Blake Griffin. Like, I have no idea who's playing basketball for this team.
Their rebounding is going to be non-existent. So I think Steven Adams, Nerlens Noel, Gallinari, you know, more of the forwards are going to be able to get some rebounds as well. I think second chance point opportunities are going to go into the toilet just because you don't have the league leading rebounder in both offensive and defensive rebounding in there. So this is a big spread, but they lost all those rebounds and a pretty good defensive presence. And they don't have anyone to put the biscuit in the basket. Give me the Thunder with the laying the points.
Okay, all right.
You know, what the heck? Why not? Okay. You know, it's a lot, but
it's a lot. But look, I get it though. I really do. Like, because I think that Detroit's only going to have seven, eight active guys.
I mean, they got Christian Wood. They got Tim Frazier. They got
Frazier was waived.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Well, they got Sekou Diambouli.
Yeah, the 19-year-old rookie.
Yeah. let's see.
Reggie Jackson. Here's who I got. I got
Bruce
Reggie
Jackson, Brown.
Bruce Brown, Dumboya, Wood, and I think Langston Galloway, and Thon Maker.
Man. I don't even know who's going to play
I don't even know. I'm sure there's some other guys that I'm not thinking of that are, like, deep on their bench. You know, but I Tony Snell also. I'm sorry. There's a guy. But that's – what do we say? 7-8 guys? Like, that's what they're down to. Someone's going to have to play 40-plus minutes that should not be playing 40-plus minutes. It's plain and simple. I don't blame you for just saying, ah, screw it. Like, I'll lay the points because this team's a disaster.
Yeah. You know, the thing that worries me, though, and, you know, it's funny that we're dissecting it this much considering it's involving the Pistons, but the Thunder are 2-5 in their last seven against spread at home. So I just want to make sure that the Hoopballers and listeners know.
We got to exercise a little bit of caution.
Right. Yeah. But, I mean, who's going to play for Detroit? You know, it's a
funky situation.
I think what kept Detroit in a bunch of games or against the spread in some games is the fact that Drummond was able to rip down all these rebounds and give the Pistons, you know, a few extra possessions throughout the ball game. And that's not there anymore.
No, you're right. Okay, let's close that one and let's get into a couple of really fun games.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where opportunity knocks. The Toronto Raptors are headed to Indiana to take on the Pacers. The Raptors are 1-point favorites, over under 218. Unless you've been living under a rock, and I don't believe you are if you're listening to this podcast, the Raptors are unbeatable. They're unbeatable. Winners of their last 12. They're ridiculous right now. And doing it every which way possible. Home, road, close games. And fortunately for us, we have a little bit of recency that we can take a look at. Because this is, in fact, a home and home with the Indiana Pacers. And the Raptors just held off the Pacers 119-118 on Wednesday. And so now they have to go to Indiana. Indiana might be a little bit, you know, hey, they just beat us on their home court. Let's beat them on ours. Except the Indiana's lost their last three. And two of them came on their home court, one of which was to the Knicks. That's not good. The other two, a Mavericks team that was playing without Luka Doncic. So there is a little bit of, okay, there's a little bit of revenge, but we're not really sure. Indiana should be good. But then again, they also have TJ Warren questionable. Victor Oladipo is questionable. Might get a rest game in this one. I don't know, man. Like it smells like could be a recipe for disaster, but at the same time, until the Raptors decide that, you know, we're just going to lay an egg, 1 point isn't that much to overcome here for the Raptors, who are just red freaking hot. Devin, talk me through this one.
Well, 1 point, you know, that in the, obviously the line is being based off of that last game, which was an exciting game, came down to the last two possessions. Indiana got an offensive rebound on a long three-point attempt. And it just kind of like bounced around all over the place. Serge Ibaka hit that go-ahead three in the corner on the right side of the court the previous possession. Both teams shot 50%, and it was a good game. You know, it was a great game. Let's see, 218 is the total for today. Last time it was 216.5, and that ended up going to 37, so definitely covered. You know, I wouldn't have any reason to believe that the over doesn't hit again, because it's not even that much more different. These teams obviously are familiar with each other. Man, this is with Oladipo and Warren being questionable. If they get ruled out, I think this line moves significantly. I'm going to lay the 1 point with Toronto. I mean, how do you not?
Yeah, I think that's what it comes down to. How do you not?
It's, you know, they're 5-2 in their last seven, specifically against Indiana. You know, that they were 5-1 before last game. You know, it was a 5.5-point spread last game. Came down to that 1 point game. And they're 6-2 in their last eight straight up against Indiana. So recent success both ways for this team. They're a great road team. You know, they have an 18-7 record on the road. But with that being said, Indiana's 18-7 at home. Mm-hmm. So it's a, you know, and both teams are just one game above 500 ATS in their prospective positionings as far as home and away right now. But this Raptors team, I tell you what, it's going to be hard to fade them. I wouldn't suggest it. Indiana's playing some good ball at home, you know, 13-5 in their last 18 at home. And it's just – it's one of those where the metrics and the numbers and the trends are all pretty much just even. You know, it there's no real advantage in as far as that goes. But – the way I look at it is the Pacers are probably going to be without, if not both, one of those guys.
Right, without Warren or Oladipo, yeah.
So I'm going to get the 1 point and lay that with Toronto right here, right away.
Yeah.
I think Toronto's got more pieces, and they're going to be able to adjust after that 1 point narrow victory. And I think they'll be able to stretch this game out a little bit more. Get a couple more stops. You know, Indiana's not going to shoot 52% again. Or maybe they do, but I don't see it happening, you know. I think it's probably going to falter down to 47-ish, especially if they miss Oladipo. So, I see the Raptors possibly winning this one by at least five. So 1 point, you know, what is that to overcome?
Right.
It's a pebble.
I'm playing the hot hand until further notice.
Right. You can't not go against
I can't get over the fact that the Raptors had two recent home games, non-Raptors home games, and they were to the Knicks and the Doncic-less Mavericks and lost both of them, like, fairly handily.
Yeah. They didn't even score 90 points against the Knicks.
Yeah. And not to mention just one quick last stat before we move on, the Pacers aren't exactly like a defensive juggernaut recently. Like in their last five games, their defensive rating is 115.4. That's good for 19th in the league.
Wow.
Whereas the Raptors in their last five are 106.2.
Yeah, so, they're top five in that.
Yeah, top five defense. Regard. You know, so it's
and top three in offense.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's still, again, the bottom line is that they are the hottest team in the league, and until further notice, and that hot streak ends, like 1 point's nothing to worry about, at least when you're playing a hot streak. So. I think we're both in agreement there. We will move on to the Houston Rockets traveling to Phoenix to take on the Suns. Lots of news around Houston, especially around the Clint Capella trade. Russell Westbrook is going to be out of this one. Houston is basically starting a a small ball experiment. Having not acquired a big man at the trade deadline to replace Clint Capella. So Houston's favored by two in this one. Over under is 233.5. Two very good offensive teams. So again, Houston without Westbrook in this one, he is going to be load managed. And lo and behold, they've won their last four. They had kind of struggled a little bit, but they've righted the ship. The Suns, conversely, are losers of their last four. They are going in the opposite direction after we were kind of teased a little bit that they might be a bit of a potential playoff team. At the same time, Phoenix is dreadful against the spread at home, 10-15. Rockets, they're not great on the road, but certainly better than 10-15, 12-14. And they're just playing better ball right now. I feel like Houston has a bit of a new identity in this one. And it almost feels like the Capella's been out with an injury too. So it almost feels like it was a bit of addition by subtraction for these guys.
Yeah, they were 5-0, 6-0 without Capella in the lineup.
It's very bizarre. And just for us in fantasy, it's like, oh, Capella's great. You know, he's a really good, you know, good fantasy player. But in reality, he just wasn't fitting in with what they were doing anymore.
Right.
So, in any case, you know, one team playing well, the other team not so much. Two on the road, two and a half on the road isn't that big of a climb, just like we said in the Raptors Pacers game. But how are you feeling about this one, Devin?
You know, the thing that gives me the most pause is the fact that, like, Ira has his thing with the Brooklyn Nets. I have my thing with the Phoenix Suns.
Oh, boy. Okay.
But I know the numbers are there for Houston to blow this team out. You know, Westbrook being out doesn't really bother me much because they have guys that can fill in, like Daniel House and PJ Tucker.
Yep.
Austin Rivers is getting 30 minutes a game, and, you know, we know he can shoot the three.
They make it work, yeah.
So, you know, Phoenix is and like I said, I go back to, you know, home or away records, what have you, more so than just the spread numbers, whenever it's a one – or, you know, 2 point or two possession spread. And right now it's at 2.5. So that's, you know, just 1 3-pointer, 1 bucket, 1 defensive stop. And Phoenix is 9-17 at home on their record. And Houston's 15-11, just straight up, you know, not even considering the spread numbers. So Phoenix is just reeling, you know. Dario Saric is out again. Looks like Tyler Johnson's out. Aaron Baines is still out. Cam Johnson's downgraded to doubtful. And Ty Jerome. So lots of guys in their rotation. Is this going to be the first game that Covington plays, or did he play the other night against the Lakers?
I think that he will be in the lineup tonight.
Okay. You know, like I said earlier in the show, talking about fading some of the teams that got involved heavily in this trade deadline hoopla, you know, they're just in a spot, Houston, that is, tonight that is hard to pass up. And personally, I'll just go ahead and throw it out there. I've already placed my bet on this game. I took I took Houston minus two. Phoenix is just – they're 1-5 in spread in their last six. 1-5 straight up in their last six. 0-7 in their last seven at home against the spread. And 0-11 straight up in their last 11 games playing at home against Houston. So they're not doing anything against Houston. You know, as far as putting a team that is offensively capable against a team that's really not, I'm going to take the offensive capable team over the lacking team any day of the week. But again, I like to approach everything with caution. Let it be known that Houston is 2-5 against the spread in their last seven against Phoenix, and 3-7 in their last 10 on the road. So there is bad and there is good to every number that we can throw out there. We can spin it every which way we want. I could sell you on the Phoenix Suns in this game somehow if I wanted to, but the obvious smart play is Houston. 2.5, 2, it's not that much. As far as the over-under at 233.5, I don't really have anything to say on that. I just don't believe in Phoenix being able to put the ball in the hoop as much. Not because Houston's a defensive juggernaut, but just how capable they really are. They don't really have any guys to make any shots or make their own shots. So,
I get it. I really do. I think, like you said, it's sometimes, you know, you could sell it either which way, but why give yourself paralysis by analysis? It's just, you know, one team is playing better, the other team is not. And the numbers suggest that, you know, based on how they're playing and based on their records, you know, against the spread home, you know, recently, as well as home and road, you got, and with the spread only being 2-2.5, you got to lean Houston. You have to.
Yeah, it's easy in my book. It looks like the public and Sharp is, they're both on Houston, and it's like, it's staggering. It's like 84%.
Wow.
Okay. To Houston. So
interesting. So that line may move still as well. So we shall see. Okay, Miami and the Heat taking on the Sacramento Kings in Sacramento. The Heat are favored by 1.5, over under 221. The big news in this one is that Jimmy Butler is doubtful. He has a shoulder injury, and we're not really sure, you know, when he's going to return. The team has been downplaying it, but there is some concern about his long-term availability, but he is doubtful in this one. So we're just going to consider him out, which makes a pretty significant difference in this game. However, as we've noted in the past, that the Kings are putrid at home. Absolutely putrid. They're 9-15 straight up, and they are 8-15-1 against the spread. They're terrible. And you have a Heat team that are kind of feeling themselves a little bit, with or without Jimmy Butler, because they were active in the trade deadline as well and basically committed to saying, hey, we're going to compete to win. We're not screwing around. We're going to try to win a championship. We're not settling for the playoffs. We think that we can compete with the best teams both in the East and the West. So that's what they did by getting Andre Iguodala and Jay Crowder. They've built a even more toughness now than they already were. So Tyler Hero also out for this one. Rashawn Holmes might be back. We're not sure. He's questionable. Beyond that, again, it doesn't seem like much with the just giving 1.5 to a team that's atrocious at home. But it is Jimmy Butler who's out. So, again, we will try to exercise a little bit of caution. But I'm not sure. You know, it is pretty tempting. Devin, are you tempted by this line?
All right, so I'm going to do this thing here. You know, I'm going to do a little bit of a ramble. You know what we were just talking about, selling it for either which side. So I'm gonna try to sell you on Sacramento here, okay? So hear me out.
Okay.
So hear me out. Jimmy Butler's going to be out. Mm-hmm. Myers Leonard's going to be out. Tyler Hero's out. The Kings, you know, they're not missing any of their normal pieces that they're playing with as of late. And those pieces that have been in their rotation has helped Sacramento become the number 8 team offensively, offensive rating in the NBA in their last 5. Net rating, you know, we would probably expect Sacramento to be absolutely terrible, you know, in the 20s. But as far as their last 5 games, Sacramento are ahead of teams like in net rating, like Atlanta, like Phoenix, Dallas, Indiana, and the Knicks, who the Knicks, they're the Knicks, but they've been actually competing and playing some ball lately. And they're only 2 spots away from teams like Portland, Los Angeles, and the Spurs are right there in front of them. They're 15th in net rating in the NBA in their last 5 games. Now, let's take a look at some recent stuff as far as Miami playing Sacramento. Miami's 1-4 against the spread against Sacramento in their last 5. 1-4 straight up in their last 5. And Sacramento's 4-2 against the spread in their last 6 games. And they also are 7-2 against the spread in their last 9 games played in February. So if you like those monthly, annual, whatever trends, there you go. So Sacramento's only a 1.5 dog here. They may have a terrible home record at home and a terrible spread record at home, but what do you think as far as hearing those numbers? Did I sell the Kings?
No.
Okay, good.
Sorry.
Good. Yeah. No. I wasn't doing it to check. So, yeah, give me 1.5. I'm going to lay the points with the Heat. I mean, they got guys.
I appreciate you trying. I really do.
Yeah. They still have Goran Dragic, Duncan Robinson. They got, you know,
Kendrick, Bam Adebayo.
Kendrick Nunn. Duncan Robinson, we've seen that kid drop in 10 threes in a game, it seems like. But anytime you turn your head, he's dropping 5 or 6 threes in. And that's going to open up even more with Jimmy Butler out. Don't forget that Goran Dragic is still a great defender. Jimmy Butler's an elite defender, but Dragic is still – a great defender, and he orchestrates the offense really well. You know, these guys, it's a cultural thing. It's Eric Spoelstra. It's Pat Riley. Bam Adebayo is going to eat. So there's no – I mean, there is a way. There's always a way. But Miami plus – or minus 1, -1.5, whatever. the Kings are terrible at home.
I want to – look, I appreciate the sales job. I really do.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mean – like, all I'll say is that 2 of the Kings' wins, you know, in their last 5 or 6 or whatever it was and look, to the Kings' credit, they haven't been terrible recently. They really haven't. You're absolutely right. They've won a few games. They're not like this decrepit team, but 2 of them came against the Wolves.
Yeah.
Another came against the Clippers. Granted, it was a big road win, but it also came in a Kawhi-less fashion, and it was one where Paul George was still recovering from a hamstring injury.
Yeah.
The other was against the Bulls on the road, and the Bulls, we know, have a propensity to kind of play down to their competition, and their big losses were against the Thunder and the Lakers, and those are 2 of the better teams in the league. So it's hard for me to really rally behind them because their wins came against teams that were obviously, you know, I wouldn't say that the Kings are superior to them. It's just, you know, it's teams that they really could beat, the Bulls and the Wolves, et cetera, you know, and they're getting beat by the better teams. And look, let's just put it out there. Jimmy or no Jimmy, the Heat are a better team than the Kings. And mm-hmm. can be by 1.5, and that's all I'm looking at as far as that goes.
Yeah, I was surprised to see this line where it was at. I understand Jimmy Butler being out, but I think it still needs to be, you know, 4, 4.5.
Probably. I think that's – especially because of their recent game. They did take them to overtime in Miami, and I'm sure that, you know, is playing a bit of a role. Because, look, De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield, they're not going to lay down, obviously, and we get that. But again, the better team at the end of the day should pull that out, and that team is Miami.
I hear you.
All right, let's wrap this up. The Portland Trailblazers taking on the Utah Jazz in Utah. The spread in this one is 8.5 in favor of the Jazz. Now, the Jazz were, at one point, one of the hottest teams in the league. They were outstanding. They're not so much anymore. They've lost their last five.
Oof. Things change quickly.
Things change quickly.
One of those losses was to Portland also.
That is correct, sir. On this past Saturday in Portland, the Trailblazers beat them 124-107. That was sandwiched in between a couple of losses to the Nuggets, as well as losses to the Spurs and Rockets. Their last win came a couple weeks ago against the Dallas Mavericks on their home court. So, yes, they are back at home, where they are 12-10 against the spread and 18-5. So they are tough at home. They are a tough home team. But the Blazers are they've been better, I would say. They've been better. They're 6-4 in their last 10. They won their last one, which came against the Spurs. They got beat by the Nuggets in between their recent victory against the Jazz. So 2-1 in their last three, 6-4 in their last 10. They are playing better. The Blazers, though, are a really bad road team, 11-16 against the spread in total, despite their gains made over their last few. They are in the top half of the table in terms of net rating over their last five. The Jazz, however, have really kind of sunk. They're minus 8.7 net rating in their last five. Again, maybe chalk it up to competition, but maybe you can also chalk it up to a team that's really hitting the skids right now. So to me, just talking through this, 8.5 feels like a lot to lay for a reeling Jazz team. But then again, I don't know. Devin, wrap this one up for me, baby.
All righty. So I was talking to Ira a little bit in our previous show about the trend of a team on the second leg of a back-to-back, which Portland is tonight, going into Utah in recent years. And we've just seen, you know, teams continuously and almost just instantly, you know, losing that game. And I need to find this article, and I will put it out on Twitter as soon as I find it. But it's a chart and some numbers and breakdowns of the numbers completely flip-flopped in that regard. Teams on a second leg of a back-to-back against the spread in Utah this year, I think their spread percentage, and I read this article a week or so ago, and it was, I think then it was, you know, about almost a 70% cover.
Wow.
So in years past, the last 5 years before that, it'd been, you know, a 21% cover. Huh. So something's changed. I'm not sure what, but, you know, like we said, these two teams are going opposite directions. Portland's actually starting to cover games. They're absolutely terrible on the road, but, you know, it's not like Utah's, you know, the golden child of covering at home either.
Right.
So this is one of those games that I think I like the side of Portland, but it scares me a little bit because I have bet against this Utah team a couple times this year and it's not worked out.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, to me, it feels definitely like a lean towards Portland right now, but at the same time, it's one of those games where I'm not really sure.
Yeah,
because Utah could snap out of it super quickly. We know that.
Yeah. You know, as things change in the NBA as quickly as they do, you know, we saw it was not even a month ago, not even like 2 weeks ago, where Utah was still this hot, intimidating, ferocious team in the NBA, just mowing down all of their competition.
Yeah, they were playing a juggernaut. Yeah.
Great teams. They were playing some solid teams. And now, you know, they've lost their last, like you said, five. You know, they've played Houston, San Antonio, Denver, Portland, Denver again. But, I mean, the team that they were beating, you know, they were handling Portland, the Clippers. They beat the Pelicans you know, they were beating the teams that they were supposed to, and they were blowing out the really good teams.
Yeah.
So, but 8.5, 9, it's a lot of points. And Portland recently, in the last 10, they've been a really good net rating team, solely on the offensive rating because of the way that Damian Lillard has been playing.
He's been incredible, yeah.
CJ McCollum's turning it up as well. Carmelo Anthony's taken better shots, smarter shots. He's actually playing defense. And I think Trevor Ariza's helped them out a lot, too, on the defensive side of things. So, and you still got Whiteside in there, you know. Right. This is going to be a battle between Whiteside and Gobert, and I think they'll probably cancel each other out. So it's going to be a battle of guard play, forwards, and, you know, in my opinion, between Lillard and McCollum, I think they probably take the cake on the guard play. So I'm going to go ahead and take the 8.5 points with Portland.
I like that. I like that play. I'm just a lean right now, just because, again, the like you said, the situation kind of scares me as kind of an either or proposition, just given the recent play of the Jazz, because like we said, they can just come out and just explode at any moment. But yeah, like the line seems really, really steep, just given their recency. So I like the play, but I personally, I'm just a lean there. Like I can't,
yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that, but
yeah.
In any case, that wraps it up for the NBA. We have been terrible hosts. We should be giving you where you will find our bets beyond this podcast. You can find us at Hoopball Gaming. And that is where Devin will tweet out our official bets. And you can find us. I'm at Josh Millman on Twitter. Devin is DALE007 at Twitter. Make sure you find us, ask us questions. But Hoopball Gaming is where you will find our official lines and picks once we get closer to tip off tonight. Devin, before we head off into the weekend, any other random bets that you want to share with the fine folks at Hoopball?
Well, it wouldn't be a Friday if I didn't cover some Ivy League action.
Yeah.
All right. So the first game on the college basketball slate, everyone loves to get the early and the late action to try to make their money early and then try to win it back late. So Harvard and Yale tonight. Yale is 14-4 against the spread. That's all I'm saying. I've bet on these guys so many times this year, and they've helped me out tremendously. They are only a 5.5-point favorite at home. And as far as their home stuff, you know, they're 7-0 at home, and they are 4-1 against the spread at home. A lot of the, you know, a couple of those numbers aren't factored in because they played some, you know, they're what they call cupcakes, and they don't really do spreads and all that for them. But this Yale team, I've talked about it in nauseam. You know, they've played North Carolina. They've played Clemson. They went 1-1 in those games and only lost by 2 points to North Carolina. They've beaten some of the top mid-major teams that are going to be in the tournament. They've put together a resume that if they take care of business in the Ivy League, which I foresee them doing so, they're going to get in to the tournament. And right now they're projected at a 12 seed in a lot of bracketologists' brackets at the moment. This Yale team is good. They're solid defensively. They're top 75 in a lot of different metrics. Their offensive efficiency is very good. No one in the Ivy League gets anywhere close to them. Give me Yale to cover the 5.5. This is an easy one for me. I saw it was under 8, and I woke up jubilant this morning. So 5.5. I'm laying those points with Yale. And, you know, to get even more into your neck of the woods, I'm going to go out to Connecticut, where Quinnipiac is hosting Iona.
Whoa.
Right. And Iona's the worst team in all of college basketball. So out of all 330-some-odd schools, they're the worst team against the spread at 3-13-1.
Wow.
Quinnipiac's 12-8, 7-2 against the spread at home. They're also laying 5.5 points against this Iona team. Now, in the last six home games, Quinnipiac's 5-1 against the spread, and they actually rank pretty good as far as, you know, shot selection for Iona's offense, you know, the way they match up. They have a rebounding edge. They don't allow teams to shoot a lot of free throws, so they're going to play smart. They're going to get to the line more than what Iona is. And shooting percentage, they actually hold teams below the Division I average in all three facets. So as far as long range, mid range, close proximity. So this is a game that I'm looking at Quinnipiac winning by probably, I'd say, 13, 14. So yeah, Yale and Quinnipiac -5.5, respectively.
We're digging deep, but I love it. Yale and Quinnipiac. Thank you, Devin. And I will wrap things up by saying, welcome back to the XFL. If anyone was missing football after the Super Bowl, do not worry, because Vince McMahon has brought the XFL back. Hoopballers, I am looking at the DC Defenders to cover 7.5 against the visiting Seattle Dragons. The DC Defenders feature Cardale Jones, the former Ohio State standout, who I believe will be one of the best players in the XFL, and I believe that DC is one of the better teams in this startup league. And at the same time, the Houston Roughnecks are taking on the Los Angeles Wildcats. And I expect a very, very high scoring game in this one. Houston is coached by June Jones, runs that big run and shoot offense. However, I do expect Los Angeles to cover this one, but I haven't seen the over under. But I will lean towards the Wildcats covering the 5.5, Los Angeles Wildcats covering the 5.5 against the Houston Roughnecks. But I do expect a massive shootout in this one. Los Angeles, I think that they have the Josh Johnson at quarterback.
Yes.
So that could also be a pretty high scoring affair in that one. So again, Josh Johnson at quarterback against the June Jones run and shoot team should be a fun one. Those are where I'm leaning right now. We'll wrap this bad boy up. Thank you all for listening. Thank you again to the folks at mybookie.ag. Head on over there now. Use the promo code TODAY today and get 50% in bonus cash when you sign up at mybookie and tell us Hoopballers sent you over there. Devin, sir, thank you again. It was another fun Friday. Enjoy your weekend. Follow us on Twitter at HoopBallGaming. Say goodbye to everyone, Devin.
Bye, everybody.
Enjoy, Hoopballers. Enjoy your weekend.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.